today on Compassion Radio.
Many people thought and hoped that it wouldn't get this far, and they're begging for a ceasefire, even a million Israelis almost begging their own government to have a ceasefire, but they refused. What we're seeing is already over the edge of the abyss, it seems to me, and we're going to be tumbling pell-mell into a greater conflagration unless some great wisdom and mercy of God is afforded to the inhabitants of that part of the earth that we call the Middle East.
From the front lines of faith to where you live, Compassion Radio brings you the reports on where eternity meets the here and now. Thanks for tuning our way today. Big changes in the world this year, don't you think? Or instead, does it feel like the same old grind? Sometimes it depends on which side of the bed you got up on. Well, around the world right now, grinding conflict means that you might be hiding under that bed until the missiles fly past. And don't think for a second that Christians around the world are exempt. When the Gaza War broke out over a year ago, there were tens of thousands of Christians worshiping regularly, running hospitals and schools, just like they've done for centuries. In fact, two or three of the oldest Christian churches in the world were located in Gaza. Today, sadly, those buildings are no more. And with that incalculable loss, add the unknown death toll in the Christian community. Now in Lebanon, about a million Christians are directly in the line of fire as Israel goes after Hezbollah. Now those are just two of the places right now where Christians are in the crosshairs. And still, they are living out their faith, caring for their neighbors in extraordinary circumstances. Today, Dr. James Jennings of Conscious International wraps up a conversation that we started last week on where the hotspots are and where those hotspots are putting Christians on the hot seat. Buckle up, friends. And before we get going, stretch your prayer muscles a bit. Let's get to it.
It seems like on social media across the U.S., in deep ways, as a nation, we are very weary of this constant battle between what seems to be the MAGA world and the liberal world, as if they are uniform in their own identities or not. People find themselves floating back and forth on certain ideas between the two all the time. And yet there seems to be this kind of ossification. Things have just gone petrified, one side or the other, in everyone's perception. But it seems like in the evangelical world especially, which is where you and I come out of, that there seems to be kind of a tacit acceptance that the only way forward is to just wipe the slate clean and push everybody out we don't want and just rest, and then we'll get back to paying attention to life after we've solved our own problems right here. To the point of saying, literally, we are not wanting another dime to be sent overseas to help another country or to fight another war. It's all about us now. I find that theologically troubling because Jesus was quite the opposite about seeing a need in front of you and attending to it rather than discarding it out of hand. But beyond the philosophical problem of that, I do want to ask you, Jim, how do we find a way to be obedient to the Word of God and to the example and the words of Jesus and still attend to our own issues? Is it possible for us to be generous in spirit and in truth, and in reality, and in our own finances, and still find a way to attend to our own hurts and our own wounds? Can it be done?
It's a difficult question. I refuse to believe that it cannot be done, but you almost have to go back 200 years when our country was first being settled, and some people with religious convictions insisted that they wanted to remain true to the gospel and they wouldn't go along with the worship of money. Mm-hmm. The Quakers, some of the Amish and other groups of people that withdrew from society. So when I grew up, and you may have experienced this when you grew up, our churches taught that maybe you should withdraw from society and be, you know, totally away from that point of view. So you wouldn't go to movies, you wouldn't do anything like that. That is unrealistic. And so I don't have an answer for living in this society and neglecting the rules or the common topics of this society. I do recommend staying in touch with people who are in a different world and have different needs and values. And the poverty rate in Gaza before the war even happened was about two-thirds of people below the poverty level for that territory. And now it's that's like 95 to 100% of the people are living in abject poverty, very lucky to get the next meal or the next drink of water. And how can we not be concerned, Bram, about that kind of situation? And now it's being foisted on South Lebanon, whether that war is deserved or not. The people are suffering on both sides of the border. So I think that we have to take a long look at where American society has come to. One place to start is to look at the overconsumption or the obvious worship of wealth and see if that is meaningful, especially in light of the Gospels, or not. And it doesn't take much to find the teaching about that that Christ gave in the Gospels. It's very clear that we're off track in terms of the Christian faith if we go along with what is celebrated as the USA.
I know years ago I read some of Tom Friedman's books about politics and economics over generations and centuries, and how we have come such a long way as a world from abject poverty affecting a lower and lower percentage of humanity over all these years, and yet the problem persists. But it is, in fact, trending toward dispersing of wealth and building the bottom up, literally, in countries around the world, even though we have a hard time seeing it from our perspective in America. And so that's to be praised, that we actually are seeing progress. But the idea of a family who's earning $2 a day making it all the way to $20 a day, we look at that and say, that's just a pocket change issue. I mean, maybe not buy a couple extra coffees, but that's not an insurmountable idea for going from $2 to $20 a day in our minds. But when you're living on $2 a day or less, going to $20 a day is a 1,000% increase in your means. And that seems like almost impossible. Yet those of us who are on the wealthy side of things, if we could find a way to invest in the people that are actually building the things that will last and avoid wars and all the dissipation of wealth that goes into destruction and war, we can see that bottom come up 1,000% to the point where the poorest among us are at least able to feed their family a square meal every day. It is possible. That seems to me the kind of hope and ambition that Jesus seems to be talking about every time he talks about the poor among us and how he's with them. Not to help them suffer through being poor, but to see a way forward and out of it, and help the rich to see the potential of being friends with those who don't have as much as you, and actually learn to love. That seems to be where the heart of the gospel really is, and you've been living that out the past 30 or 40, maybe even 50 years in the work that you've done, Jim. You've helped bring the hope of believing that the word that Jesus spoke is possible in our generation, because you've gone there to show how it can. And you've made opportunities for people to give and to be part of projects that have, in fact, transformed the lives of millions of people where they are by something as simple as bringing up the very bottom from $2 a day to maybe $5 by giving them something to do as meaningful work and the means to do it. So I do still believe that it's not just a possibility, but it's going to happen because God has called us to do it and he doesn't set us up to fail. So in our generation, you and I being toward the older end of it, we may not see the fruit of all that in one generation, but I do believe if our kids keep believing with us, that we keep going toward the goal, gently but persistently, day after day, and not giving up simply because we can't see the end of the giving, that we don't give up on the reality that this is eternal business we're doing here, and that God is in it, and he's in it for eternity, in you and in me and in our kids and in the world to come. I don't want to give up. So I'm going to now pivot, if you don't mind, Jim, to the last subject I want to talk about. That's the ongoing conflict between Israel and what seems to be everybody in their immediate vicinity. They were obviously and horrifically, outrageously attacked a year ago, and it was their 9/11. They watched a huge number of young people slaughtered on a day, and they're still in the shock of that. And the world is still stunned by it. The lashing out by the Israeli army to try to put an end to it has gone a lot farther than even the entire world expected they might go. And now they're going after Hezbollah on the north side. They know they're fighting a proxy war with Iran in five different theaters. They know what they're up against. They know what they can and cannot do. And they're going for it aggressively in ways I can't even imagine. And yet there are no guarantees that they're going to win all this or that there's not going to be some major disaster that leads the entire region or the world into a very, very dark place. So speak to this, if you can, Jim, about what you've seen over the years and what you expect to see in the weeks and months to come so we can be praying for and preparing for and giving toward the thing that might actually outlast these conflicts.
I'll start by saying that in over 50 years in living and working in the Middle East, and I love the people of the Middle East, whatever religion and whatever ethnicity they have, it's been dreadful this last year to see that it has never been this bad before. And that Yes. covers a lot of territory. These months have been painful and horrendous for everybody to observe. And this is true for the Israelis, for the Palestinians, the Lebanese and Syrians and the people in Gaza and throughout the entire region. What it looks like, to answer your question, if I can, is that it's really already gone too far to pull back from the precipice. If you're close to a cliff, if you get too close, you may slip and fall into the abyss. And this has been a warning from some wise heads over the months, but many people thought and hoped that it wouldn't get this far, and they're begging for a ceasefire, even like a million Israelis almost, begging their own government to have a ceasefire, but they refused. So that what we're seeing is sort of over the edge of the abyss, it seems to me, and we're going to be tumbling pell-mell into a greater conflagration unless some great wisdom and mercy of God is afforded to the inhabitants of this world, and especially that part of the earth that we call the Middle East, because everybody is on edge, everybody is sitting there waiting to push the button on the next missile. And I wrote an article just today, which may be published tomorrow or the next day, and it's based on the Confucian wisdom, when you plot revenge, dig two graves.
Compassion Radio will continue to keep bringing you encouragement from the Word, inspiring stories from the front lines of faith, and awesome opportunities to make a difference for the kingdom around the world. But we need your help right now to continue doing just that. Please take a moment today to consider how you might help us to accomplish our unique media ministry and mission. Remember, friends, Compassion Radio is always a coalition of the willing. Are you willing to help get out God's good news stories of the kingdom really living the gospel in the 21st century? Oh, I hope so. Thank you, friends, for standing with Compassion Radio during these times of great change to our normal life. Of course, there's nothing normal about our situation, but there's also nothing normal about the kind of faith and power we find in Jesus. Just visit our website, CompassionRadio.com, or call our toll-free order line, 1-800-868-2478. And note our new mailing address, which is P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. Again, that's Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. And now, back to the broadcast.
Is sort of over the edge of the abyss, it seems to me, and we're going to be tumbling pell-mell into a greater conflagration unless some great wisdom and mercy of God is afforded to the inhabitants of this world, and especially that part of the earth that we call the Middle East, because everybody is on edge, everybody is sitting there waiting to push the button on the next missile. And I wrote an article just today, which may be published tomorrow or the next day, and it's based on the Confucian wisdom, when you plot revenge, dig two graves. You will never escape your own hatred. And what we're seeing is that it's over the top, as President Biden said in the first months of the war, over the top. But still, unfortunately, he never has forced the Israelis to stop slinging missiles. And so now the Iranians are, and the Hezbollah are slinging missiles, and the Hamas. And it's not good for anybody. There is no instance, the book Art of War, the ancient Chinese wisdom, there is no instance of a long war benefiting anybody. Huh. And so you can't tell who's right and wrong by a body count. but you can certainly note that children who are killed through no fault of their own do not deserve this. And I've been torn apart more almost than the many deaths, the thousands and tens of thousands of deaths, by the numbers of children that I have seen who have had wounds that they will never overcome in their entire life. "I need my leg," a young 9-year-old boy said. "Mommy, will my arm grow back?" a girl cried. "I need my eyes. I want to see," a boy said. These are real events that are happening in our time. I cannot help, Bram, but connect this to the willingness of American people to extend themselves on behalf of others. My brother said to a friend who he knew was very wealthy, he said, "Why don't you give some money to Conscience International?" And he said, "I don't have any money I want to give away." How could that be our credo? How could that be our belief that with all the blessings of heaven that have come to us in this life, especially in North America, and especially in these years, how could it be that we who have been blessed so much don't have any money that we want to give away?
Well, I would hope to be more preaching to remind us that real wealth comes from letting God know he comes first and asking him what to do about it and letting him have the freedom and the trump over our hearts. He can choose to redirect us and letting him do it. And I do believe that there are ways that he can use what little we do have, even if we see it as little, or what little we're willing to put on the altar, and he can leverage that. I'm sure of it. The one thing I've been mostly encouraged by, and it's a pretty traumatic encouragement to me, for the past 2 years of these conflicts, and especially since Israel invaded Hamas territory in order to take care of business with that terrorist group, the one community throughout the Middle East that has not advocated for any war or for retribution or for revenge, the only community that has not taken up the sword has been the Christians of the Middle East. They have suffered from both sides. We saw the destruction of some of the world's oldest churches, ones that go back in heritage all the way back to, as I was reading in the Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire recently, Constantine's mother having established some of the churches in Gaza that were destroyed since last October. That historically and heritage-wise just devastates me. Some of the earliest touchstones, literally, for the Christian faith, going back to the times when Christianity was just coming out of the end of the Roman Empire. You can't even touch the stones anymore. They're powder because of what's happened this past year. And you and I have discussed this many times about wanting to learn from the leadership of those who truly serve on the front lines, that their moral authority is greater than anything else we could put on the table at this point. When the people who suffer the most hold up a hand of peace to you and do not raise a stone or a rifle in your direction, even if you're attacking them, that has moral authority. And that's what the Christian community in the Middle East is doing right now. I would hope that the Christians back home here in America and the rest of the Western world would at least give a second thought, just a moment's worth of consideration, for how the Christian leaders that are in the fire zones are responding and what they're asking of us. And they're not asking a whole lot, but they are saying, if you want to send money to feed orphans as we're picking them off the streets of Beirut right now, do it. We'll take care of them. Here's how to wire us money. They're not making judgments or not preaching against or preaching fire down upon. They're simply saying, God, use us now, since you have us here, to save lives, to love in your name, to show mercy. I want that to be our ethic. I really do. And I do hope that we'll start listening more and more to those who are on the front lines of faith, that are not taking up arms, they're not responding with aggression, with rage. They're responding literally with the love of Jesus when it's the least likely to be expected. So there are my heroes, and I'll be your heroes too.
I'm thinking of the churches I have seen outside Mosul in the Nineveh Plain in the north of Iraq. Dozens of churches and ancient monasteries burned and destroyed. In Nigeria, I have pictures of 100 churches that have been burned in one district, Maiduguri, and that area in the north of Plateau State. And this is, that's only, you know, those two examples, but around the world, there have been a lot of suffering of people of faith who are not seeking vengeance. So I think you're really saying the right thing. Bram, I want you to know that I admire and appreciate the work of Compassion Radio and your leadership in it, and how you've done so much to communicate these themes over the years. And it all comes right out of the Gospels in the New Testament, the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, all the things that tell us how we should operate rather than how we do operate in this world. And I'm grateful to you for promoting that.
Well, I'm grateful for the work and example and mentorship you've shown me personally, and have even kind of docented our ministry over the years to pay attention to the things that are most needful in the world and how to get people's eyes and ears attuned to it without giving up in despair or disgust, but simply to say, Lord, what do you need me to see in this? I'm willing. And if we do, the God starts opening places in our heart we didn't even know we even had a chamber available. But that's where God lives. His love's got to live somewhere, and it better be in a place that's the living, beating heart. And I would like it to start with us, and that people get the chance to hear us tell the stories of what God was doing out there on the front lines. And may God give you many more years, my friend, to be out there leading the charge and bringing love in as the only weapon, the weapon against hate, and that we disarm. We do not arm ourselves to conquer. We disarm the plans and the schemes of the evil one simply by obeying what God says to do and how he says to love. And it never makes sense in our own economy, but somehow it always adds up in his. So I do pray he would leave you many more years in charge of such an instrumental and effective ministry, and that God will give us an opportunity as a communications ministry to keep telling the stories and to send you what resources we can along the way, too. So with that, I'll say adieu for now. But Dr. James Jennings of Conscience International, you're a great friend to us, and you're always a great wealth of insight. May the next set of stories we hear have some good news highlights as well of the good things that happened in Lebanon and Gaza, Congo, other parts of the world, including Sudan. I look forward to hearing that next report from you, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you, Bram.
Thanks for your time today.
Carry on. God bless you.
Bye-bye. My sincerest thanks to Dr. Jim Jennings of Conscience International. He's one of the most intrepid people I've ever had the chance to travel with, and a firmly committed Christ follower. That means he follows Christ right into the heat of battle, sometimes literally. Keep praying for them, would you? And thank you for your faithful support of this ministry as we enter this most important season of giving. Your generous support means we can stay on the air and in the field. And you know, it also means that we can generously support ministries like Conscience International with our year-end giving as well. Please, friends, send what you can and as soon as you can. Thank you so much. That you would come from heaven above, offer free your priceless love, that God's own Son would come and die to make a way for such as I. Great.
Give online today or call us at 1-800-868-2478 and P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. We need you, friend, so contact us today.